We're speaking on that subject of remembering and forgetting, knowing what to remember and what to forget. We remember today and this weekend and many places, many services will go on, the lives that were given for this great country we have and that we have the privilege to live in. I realize, as most of you, that our country is in a terrible, sad shape, but it's still the best nation on the face of the earth. It's still God's messenger to go out into a world and proclaim the words of freedom and its missionaries to proclaim the voice of salvation. And I'm so glad to be an American. I'm glad I'm a Christian American today. I'm glad I had the privilege of serving both my God and my country. I love this country. I love my God. And I love doing what I'm doing. I'm feeling so much better that I decided to plant a garden this year anyway. They told me we weren't going to do it. But me and my wife got out there and we already got it started. I'm a little bit behind, but I'm going to catch up with you, so move over. I might pass after a while, okay? We're coming on down the track. But it is great to be a God-fearing Christian this time of the year, and at times like this when you think about how precious God is. We remember the flag that stands for our Savior and our God that gave us the country, for the gold that stands for the King of all the ages, for the blue that stands for heaven, for the stars that stand for the saints that have gone on, for the red that stands for the blood, and the white that stands for the way we are once the blood has washed us clean. Hallelujah. That ought to make you want to shout. That ought to make you want to come to church every time the doors are open. Don't forget the services tonight. We'll be having special services starting at 6 o'clock. Special music. Good time to be around God's people. And we see these some things that we ought to remember and ought to forget. First of all, we ought to remember Jesus Christ every day of our life. When we look at the sun coming up in the morning, and whether it comes up or not, we know it is, we ought to said, thank God, the sun has risen. The S-O-N has risen, the S-U-N is coming up to remind me that Jesus Christ arose from the grave. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. We have a lot of things to remember him for. We remember his vicarious death on that cross of Calvary, that he paid the sin debt for you and for me. Your sins might not have been as many as somebody else, but you were still lost in sin when you came to Christ. You might have been a sweet boy in Sunday school, a beautiful girl, played the flute or whatever you did, but you were still lost and you needed to be saved. Thank God for his vicarious death. In the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 26, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us in the book of Acts, and the others writing that book remind us, that God has soldiers. And Paul tells Timothy, you're a soldier of the cross. Don't get weary in well-doing. Keep up doing it. We were singing that song, never give up. I like songs like that. I like songs that says that. I got no time, and I don't think God's got any time in his army for wimps. They always want to start but never quit. I mean, the last kick of the leg. I used to run marathons. They were passing me going downhill, but boy, when we got on the hills that they couldn't climb, I'd start passing them, get over in a left-hand lane and just start pumping. Felt that blood and adrenaline going, never give up, never get up. The race ain't over till it's over, amen? Till God says it's over. I'm looking forward to that day when we see him face to face, to fall on our knees and cry, holy, 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 Lord God is holy, amen? He says in Acts 16:31, that, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. I had a fellow I was talking to this past week, and he said, I come from another church, and I won't mention it, but you know there's a lot of them around, right? And he said, what's the difference in that church and yours? I said, they believe you get to heaven for what you do, and we believe you get to heaven for what Jesus did for you. That's the big difference. And they're wrong, and we're right. And there's no two ifs, ands, buts about it. You can't work enough. You can't do enough to get yourself to heaven. You only get there by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Know for sure where you're going and who's taking you all the way. So we remember Jesus Christ. You never get weary when you remember him. You say, well, you don't know what people have done to me. You know what they did to him? You know what they did to him? You know what his own disciples did to him? You know what the people he healed did, the people he fed, the five, you know what they did to him? They turned and left him, went away. So don't give me this, what you don't know what people did to me. Hey, we're in the war. We're in the army. We serve God. We're going to get beat up. We're going to get hurt. But we remember Jesus. We look on the author and finisher of our salvation, who set for the prize and looks ahead running for that race. Amen? Amen. No time for wimps. Remember the cross on which he died for our sins. We need to go back to that. And that keeps us straight. We need to go back and remember some things. And that's one of the things we need to remember, that he died for our sins on that cross. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. If we don't have a cross, other religions don't have a cross. They just have a body. And some of them don't even know where the body is. But we have a cross on which he died and shed his blood for our sins, that we might be saved, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You need to remember that. Write these things down if you think you'll forget them. Remember Jesus and remember his cross. And he says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God." They take those blood-bought hymns out of the hymn book because they don't want a bloody house, slaughterhouse religion. We don't have any other. There's no other way, and we don't have a religion. A religion is something man-made and dead. Christianity is something God made and alive. A big difference, amen? We are alive in Jesus Christ, alive forevermore. He says, "You shall never die." We can shed this old body. We were talking in the Sunday school class this morning and go back to dust. This fish can eat it at sea if they're thrown in the sea. The worms can eat it if you're in the ground, I guess, or wherever you die. But praise God, the soul goes with him, and he says he'll resurrect that same body and changed. And we sing it sometimes, changed in the twinkling of an eye. Think of that. Changed that quick into a body like unto his. Fashioned like, if he could take Adam and make him out of the dirt, he can get enough dirt to make us again. That's all we are anyway. But then we'll get that glorified body that's made of the shining light of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Just enough to make you want to shout and jump for joy, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him," Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." How did you get made righteous if you're saved? By Jesus Christ. He took the old coat of sin off of you and put the new coat of righteousness on you. And you're looked upon by God now, if you're saved, just as if you had never sinned. What can wash away my sins? Well, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He took our sins. And we sing that hymn. He took them all away. Took our sins. Threw them in the sea of forgetfulness. And you know how people say, "Well, I remember what he did. I remember what she did." You know what God says? "I forget them all and remember them no more." So we forget our past sins. We forget our past. People may want to hang on to it. That's their wagon. Let them pull it. But if we're saved, we're forgiven of God, and he forgets those sins. Never to remember them anymore, he says. What a beautiful thought. All of our sins can be taken by him and put away. And then we remember his desire to care for us. He didn't leave us comfortless. He said he would send the Holy Spirit. We preached on him for 7 weeks. The Holy Spirit has come, and he says he wants to care for us. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You don't have a problem today. Who in here doesn't have one single problem? Not one single problem. Well, that's what I thought. We all got a few problems, right? But you don't have a single one that Jesus doesn't say, "Let me take that for you. Let me take you. I want to care that." I like that song that the girls sang. They sang it at our for the service we had. He lifts me up on his shoulders. That's where God puts me. That's where Christ puts me. He can carry me. Someone has said when they saw that footprints in the sand, the person asked, "Why was there no one set of footprints?" "Because I carried you, my child." He wants to carry us through our troubles. He goes with us. He walks with us. And when we stumble, when we fall, he picks us up and carries us. He's going to see us all the way to the end. And he says he has his hand clasped around us. "I have you in my hand, dear child. You cannot fall. Never. And I'm in the hand of God. Christ in the hand of God. You in the hand of Christ." And then the Holy Spirit sealed. Never, never to be broken. Only by God. And when he breaks open the seal, we walk into the gates of heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah, what a marvelous Savior that we have. So come unto him. Notice he says in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls." Take my yoke. You see, the yoke says that God wants you to work, but you work with him. We sometimes either think we got to do the work by ourselves, or we just don't work. God wants every one of us to work. He wants us all to get in the yoke. But here's the yoke, that thing he's describing. Two oxen, one over here, one here, the yoke there, the straps that pulls the load. God takes the yoke, and he's got the big side. All we got to do is stand beside the Lord and walk with him. That's why we learn to walk with Him. Sing that song, just to walk with Him. It's glory just to walk with Him. The yoke is not heavy. He says the burden is light. It's easy. But we get all, so I can handle this. I can do this by myself. I can handle my problems. I don't need any help. I'm a big, tough guy. I can take it. No. You're not big enough for Satan. You're not big enough for the devil and his infants. So take His yoke. And notice He said, I'm meek. Meek does not mean weak. Meek means strength under control. God has strength under control. When they were accusing Him at His crucifixion, at His trials, and making accusations, they said that He spoke not a word. He was meek. He was not weak. He had His... Don't you think He wanted to rail out? Don't you think He wanted to jump up and just slap Him right in the mouth? I mean, I would have, wouldn't you? People telling the lies on me, come in here. We're going to have a slapping contest. We're going to have a beating up contest. But He didn't say a word, spoke not a word, because His strength and His power was awaiting for that grave. When up from the grave He'd rise, and nobody had to open the door. Nobody had to roll a stone away. You know why the angels rolled a stone away? Not so He could get out, so the people could see in. He had already gotten out. He didn't need the stone out of the way. There's no stone in your life. There's no trouble in your life that He can't get out of the way so you can see Him. The devil wants to block your view from Jesus. He wants you to keep from seeing Jesus and think it's all about you or all about somebody else. It's all about Jesus. Don't let the stones of your life block your vision to see Christ. See Christ in everything. That's why He said in Romans, we know that all things, what does all things mean? All means all. Does that mean the same thing in the Greek too, right? All. Amen. Yeah. Oh, and if you want some Greek this morning, this is West Virginia Greek. The whole kit and caboodle. That's what it means. The whole kit and boodle. Everything. Everything. Okay. Everything. All things work together for bad. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that, does it? For good. The whole shebang, that's another good word. The whole shebang works for good. But here's the key, to them that love God. Amen. Now listen to me, follow me very careful. You'll know how much in love with God you are by the way you handle your problems. Because He says it's going to work for your good if you love Him. But if you don't love Him, He's going to stand back and let you just wrestle that old thorny bush, that old problem. He's just going to let you just handle it all by yourself. And then the second part of it, what's it say? That's called according to my purpose. No, it's not what He said. According to His purpose. So we've got to put that all together. All things work for good to them that love God, that are called according to His purpose. Okay, always remember that. When it's raining and you don't like rain, God's got a purpose. If I love Him, and I'm called for this moment. I'm called for this second. I'm called for this hour that God might do some great work in and through me, that the Lord God might be praised. Hallelujah. Instead of fretting and saying, I don't know why this all happens to me. Why did God allow this to happen? Why did God allow that to happen? God's got something good going on. And you got to get under the spout where the rain comes out before you can get any of the good stuff. Amen. You understand that? Amen. Get your cup turned right side up, under the spout, wait for God to pour it out, and then you'll have what you need. Amen. For every day. Praise God. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, they may be sin for us. We're down in the other verse. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy. It's easy because God's beside you. God's carrying the load. You're just walking along and having a joyous time, walking with God. Everybody's saying, look at that load move. Look at that trouble go. And they don't see you. They see God. But you're right there with God, and He's using you as a chosen vessel for His purpose, that things might be worked out for God's good. Then we see, He says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting. Here's the hard part. This is the hard part, people. Listen to me. You really need to take this verse to heart. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. It's hard for me to say, when I can't find my pen and I need to write a note and somebody's waiting on the telephone, God, please help me find a pen. This is a little deal. I can find the pen. I'm still waiting on the phone. Finally, I say, Lord, where's my pen? He says, it's in your hand. Oh, it wasn't in my pocket. It's because it's in my hand. There's my pen. Isn't God amazing? Amen. Absolutely amazing. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He loves you and He wants to carry the load. Then the next thing we need to remember is His church. Need to remember His church. There's some people out there that have the idea that the church belongs to the community. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're His subjects here. Amen. They'll say to me, well, the church is supposed to do that. Doesn't the church belong to the community? The lady said, I want to have a wedding at your church. I said, wait a minute, we've got to talk about some things. Where do you go to church? I don't. I said, well, I don't know if you... Well, I said, isn't it amazing? You want to live all your life without the church, but then all of a sudden you want to get married in the church? Yeah. Doesn't that just flip your flipper? I mean, I can't figure people out. Wow. I want to get married in the church. And then one day, well, we want to have the funeral to church. Well, did he ever come to church? No, I don't know if he ever went to church or not. Well, then why are we bringing him to church now? He's not going to get saved by bringing his dead, stinking carcass in the church. That's not going to help him any at all. Amen? Right. You're being crude. No, I'm not. I'm being honest. We just think somehow religion, what we can do after and during, and we can leave God out of our life and leave the church out of the community. We can plan all of our events and say the church can take a back seat. It can wait. The church can do this. And then one day we want the church to do something for us. And I just say absolutely no. Just back up and stand silent. If you can't live for the church, then we don't want people thinking they can die for the church. Christ died for the church. It belongs to Him. Okay, remember the church. Remember the church. Remember the church. Remember the church. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. That's one of the gifts after our salvation that God gave to us. He gave us the gift of salvation and He gave us the church so we'd have a place to come to and to grow and to study and to learn and to fellowship. That's what the church is for. He loved us so much that He gave the church for us. Think of that. Phenomenal when we think what God has done. Number five, remember he desires to have fellowship with us. God just doesn't want to see us on Sunday morning. God wants to have fellowship with us all the time. It is glory just to walk with Him every day, all the way, having fellowship with God. And of course, the church should be a key to that and a controller of that, a mover of that. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And listen to this. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, we think we're going to go out here on a trip or go to a pleasure thing. We're going to have some fellowship. The fellowship that we have has to depend on Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is in it, I'm for it. If He's not in it, I'm not for it. Amen. Amazing the things we want to do and then call it fellowship. There's no true fellowship outside of Jesus Christ. He says our fellowship depends upon Him. Our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. You find disgruntled Christians, just mean, unhappy, and snarling. They're not having fellowship with God. And 9 times out of 10, they're not connected to the church very good. Just come when I feel like it, do what I feel like. Don't. That's just an attitude. God says, you want to have fellowship, you're going to have to be with me. Amen. You're going to have to walk with me. You're going to have to learn of me. You're going to have to spend time with me. Work with me here. Come on. And the Father gives us that fellowship. And these things write unto you that your joy may be full. You can be happy. You can be happy as a Christian amidst your sorrow and your woe and your trouble if you got fellowship with God. Amen. And if you're having fellowship with Him, you don't have to look for Him. You remember how his parents lost Him? They said, where's Jesus? We don't know. Two little boys were really bad in Vacation Bible School. And the ladies told the pastor, you're going to have to talk to them. So the pastor called them in. One was sitting in the outer office, and the door was open. He took the other one inside. He looked at the little boy. He says, where is God? The boy just looked at him. He got up out of his chair, and he walked over, and he says, where is God? The boy sat there and trembled, didn't know what to do, and he walked around the chair. Back. He said, I'm asking you, where's God? The boy got up and ran out. He grabbed his buddy. He said, somebody stole God, and they think we done it. We got to get out of here. You know, we just don't know where God is. Where is God? If we had fellowship with Him last moment, we know right where He is. But when we walk without Him and walk to our own pleasures and own desires, then we don't know where God is. We don't know what He's doing. And we're afraid even to do those kind of things. Number six, remember His promise of salvation for us. We can know that we're saved. John 6:37. And that the Father giveth, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's a good verse, you know that? People say, well, I don't know if God... Hey, God don't care who you are, how educated you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, how bad you've been. He don't care any of that. God takes everything that's wrong with you and makes you right and makes you his child. When you come to me, I don't cast you out. If he doesn't cast you out, he takes you in, right? Brings you into the fold, into the Lamb of God. Thanks God for that great and precious promise. He says in John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall sometime perish. Never, never, never. I like that. You're on the ball. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Can't get out of the hand of God once you're in the hand of God. Can't undo the hand of salvation. Saved to the, from the uttermost to the guttermost. Those people that think they're so good, they're way up here. Those that are so bad, they're way down here. From the uttermost to the guttermost, God saves them all. Brings them into the family of God. We see this morning the greatest memory is to know we have heaven for our home if we're saved. Think about that. Heaven for our home. Man, the things you got to do around your house to keep it fixed. And last, you tell you leave this world, you got to fix this. The roof's leaking. The window's broke. The pump don't work anymore. Don't pump any water. It's leaking. We got something going on all the time. They're building me a mansion over there. My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of this world in his hands. Rubies and diamonds and silver and gold. This, you know what we think of gold when we get to heaven? We just walk on it. Run up and down. I want to run up and down Glory Avenue just kicking up the dust. Woo! Praise God. Glory Avenue. Look around. See the walls of jasper. The gates of pearl. Where? He owns the cattle on Thousand Hill. God owns it all. God wants to shake it loose from us. Get rid of all those things that, like the canker eats and takes away. And invest in heaven where no moth can enter, nor rust cannot enter into the things of God. He says in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's all we have to do is just believe on him and say, Lord, I'm trusting you for everything in my life that has happened, everything that will happen. He said in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. Somebody sings a song called, build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. No, 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 no. I don't want a cabin. I want a mansion. Amen. I want a mansion. I want to be right on Glory Avenue facing down my bay window facing down to the where the glory of God is and his throne so I can look out and see him all the time. And run down there every day, all the time, and kneel before him and say, glory, glory to the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world that take away my sins. Glory to God. My Father's house are many mansions. He didn't say rooms. Jehovah's Witnesses said, they translate that many rooms. You're in the next room. Did you ever have to live in a house where there are apartments? You laughed. You've been there, right? If you was in the military and traveled much, you know one of the things they used to have when you was in the military and you try to move your family with you? They'd say, no kids or dogs. I thought, what in the world? People that don't like dogs, that's bad. But people that don't like kids, that's really bad, isn't it? Somebody says, does it bother you when the kids cry? No. The parents bother me sometimes, but the kids don't. I mean, either he needs a loving or a changing or a spanking. You decide which one, give it to him, and we just all learn together. Amen? That's all you got to do. You got to remember those three roles, right? Loving, changing, or spanking. Anybody don't understand that? Don't bother me. Parents bother me when they're trying to make the kid, got to sit there and that stuff. Well, he's got to be changed. Get him changed. I'd be crying too, wouldn't you? Huh? Really? And maybe he just needs a hug and you hug him. And maybe he's just being mean and he needs jerked out of the seat. We're going out on the front porch. No, 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 Mommy, yes. And then the next time you say, you want to go out on the porch? No, 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 I don't want to go on the porch. No, no, I don't want no more of that. Amen. You got the kid under control, but you wait till he's 16. I ain't listening to you. I'm not listening to you. How did we get to that in a mansion in heaven? My goodness. Man, we got to hook this horse back up to the wagon we was on. I like that a lot better. I don't like them spankings, do you? I don't like to be taken out on the front porch. I didn't like to hear my mother do that. She could do that from here to the road. What, Mom? Dad didn't do that. Dad went, bring me a switch. Wow. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Someone has said, It took him 6 days to fix this world. I've saw a lot of it. And there's some beauty to behold. The ice mountains and seeing Mount McKinley, and they call it something else now up in Alaska. I've seen the oceans, blue, clear water. I've seen Hawaii. By the way, Hawaii is under attack, isn't it? I mean, it's a little preempt of what hell's going to be like. That stuff boiling out, and the tribulation we talked about this morning, that thing is belching. They said stuff over a mile high, and it's running down the mountains and running the ocean, running the people of the house. That's just a prelude. God's speaking. God's saying, here's one of the places that people think is the best place on earth to go. He said, guess what? Going to be hell one day. When he sets our fields on fire, if to sin is your desire, he will set your fields on fire. God knows what he's talking about. Well, I don't believe all that stuff. You don't have to believe it, but one day you will. The devil is smarter than most people. The Bible says the devils believe with fear and trembling. They know what God's up to. And we got people trying to decide, well, is it a literal burning hell? Is people really going to know it? They're there? Is it just going to be their souls or their body? Come on. Just believe what God said, that he will cast both body and soul in hell. Believe the Bible. You don't have to listen and say, well, I don't know if a preacher knows. I don't know a lot of times everything, but I know some things well. And then he says, if he goes to prepare a place, but I start to tell you, if it took him 6 days to build this earth, and he's been over 2,000 years building us houses over there. Houses. Mansions, right? Wow, it must really be something, huh? Well, no, ladies, don't worry about it. You don't have to clean it. People build big houses down here. We got one son that's got one about three stories. Got seven car garages and all that stuff. And now they're getting older and they have to hire people to clean it because they can't get around to clean it. She has a Christmas tree. She has about 10 Christmas trees every Christmas if you go there. One here and one's up on a level up there about the third floor by the window. I don't know how they get up there to put that up. Or I think they have to call JLG. How do they get it up there? I don't know. But they do. But not in heaven. Not in heaven. The angels keep it clean all the time for me and for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am. You like sometime you ought to go through the Gospel of John and count the I ams. You know, when Moses said, who am I going to tell sent me? He said, I am. I am. You know, when they come to arrest him in the garden, said, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus Christ. He said, I am. And when he said, I am, the power of I am knocked all the guards back on. Isn't it amazing? The great I am. It matters what you believe and who you believe. Listen, there's people out there that are riding bicycles today, wearing suits that look sharper than most of us, but it's not, they don't believe in the right thing and they don't believe in the right person. You got to believe on Jesus Christ. And then it doesn't matter. He's preparing us a place. And he's coming again. He's coming back. Could be today. Could be tomorrow. Could be next week. I don't know. But I know one thing. It didn't happen yet because we're still here. And he cannot tell us a story. He says, the God who cannot lie. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the lover of our souls. We thank you for the great work that you did on Calvary. We thank you for the great work you're now doing in preparing us a place, and you're going to come again and get us. And Lord, help us be diligent about reaching our families, our loved ones. Thank you for the service tonight when we'll bring little kids in and teenage kids and bring our families in and get here early and get ready for a great time in the Lord. Maybe some folks will get saved and to witness the baptismal waters. That's so important. Get baptized like Jesus did. Go down into the water and come up out of the water. Buried in our sea of sinfulness and raised in a new life and new righteousness in Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed and the instruments begin to play, the altar is extended to you. The guy said, we don't have an altar called our church. I said, you have to preach to an invitation, for an invitation, to have an invitation. I preached this morning that if you're lost, you come to this altar, we'll get you saved. We'll show you how God will save you. I preach to the saved. You do what God tells you to do. If God's speaking to your heart about walking with him, fellowshipping with him, drawing closer, get close to God. There's safety close to God. There's safety close to God. We'll wait on you for a few minutes before we sing our hymn of invitation. so you can have privacy time. Some people say, Pastor Hodge, you make it too easy. No, I didn't make it easy. God made it easy. God did it all for you, and He told me to tell you, it's easy with Him. Take my yoke. It's easy. God made it easy. You don't have to know anything, do anything, except you want Him to save you or Him to walk close to you. Oh, how much He cares for you. While they play one more verse in chorus, you need to come do business with God. One day you'll be down to the last 60 seconds of your life. One day you'll be down to the last 60 seconds before the Lord comes back, whichever one. And if you miss it, you've missed heaven, and I'll have only hell and only yourself to blame. Come now while He's calling. Come now while He's waiting.
362,
thank you.362 is our hymn of invitation. We still open the altar for you to come if God's speaking to you. Amen. You really got worked over this morning, so go home and get some rest and have you something to eat and come back early. We'll get some more of it. You get it from somebody else. And I can sit back there and feel sorry for all of us, okay? Well, God bless us. We're on our road to heaven. Glad we're going. Amen. Brother Roy, would you have a closing prayer?